22nd at 6 p.m. Can I get a roll call, please?
Vice President Terry Langford.
Present.
Scott McVoy is absent. Randy Mobley.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Town Manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
Clerk Treasurer Michelle Miller is present. Scott McVoy, Brad Amos, and Jacob Elder are all three absent.
Right. That done, Randy, can you lead us in prayer? Please stay standing for the pledge of allegiance.
Father God, we just ask your presence here at our meeting. We ask you to lead us in all that we do. Lord, just show us the good and let us do that. Just pray for all of our blessings upon all of our employees in town and the safety of the police officers. And just thank you for making Salisbury a great place to live. And we just ask your blessings upon our town each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right, I need a motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented.
So.
I have a first by Randy and a second by Matt. We got a lot of things to go over. And now we need a motion for the approval of the minutes. They were available to you online. And I believe I also sent to you by email.
So.
All right, we have a first by Matt, a second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We have 3-0. Moving forward, I need an approval for the allowance claims. Again, they were available online to you.
So.
First by Matt.
Also.
Second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0. And we need a motion for the approval of the allowance claims, also available online.
So moved.
First by Matt.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0. Now we'll take just a minute here to sign our paperwork. Comments from the public on our agenda items tonight? No. Ordinance and resolutions. Ordinance 2024-OR-07 and ordinance repealing and replacing 130-04 of the Code of Ordinances for the County of Salisbury, Indiana concerning basketball goals in the road. Charlie, I believe you have the floor.
Yes, so as you can see in front of you, a proposed ordinance update. We currently have something on the books, but I believe it falls to the police department. From an enforcement standpoint, it really should probably be the street department on the civil side. And this is related to those temporary basketball goals that you see people have. We've received several complaints. I myself have almost run into one, two, at various times, usually during plow season or plow and snow, the hard to see at night. Basically what's happening in certain areas, people buy these basketball goals, they take them and put them in the street and leave them in the street. Some cases it's an issue, some cases it's not an issue. Basically what this ordinance does is say, hey, this is an issue, notice be posted on the goal, address will be notified by certified mail, and that 30 days. Not saying you can't wheel it out there and use it. A lot of these things have wheels and they're mobile, so you can take it out there, use it, you just can't leave it in the street.
Again, so no one is saying you can't use the portable basketball goals and play in the street, but when you're finished with them, move them back so the snow piles or the garbage truck or the fire engine or the car ever runs into it. Pretty cut and dry there, if you ask me, so.
So I guess a question I have, Charlie, when, if you, I guess you drive by and see one of these, do they get a day's notice?
They'll get 30 days.
They get, so you get them?
They'll get stickers, and realize we have a conversation with the property owner, and we'll send them certified mail as a notice, have the conversation, so I'll let them get it, you know, everybody has a driveway that, whatever, that's fine, you just can't leave it in the street.
Just to be clear, just as long as they pull it back on the property, everything's good?
Correct.
Okay.
Just can't leave it out there in the right way or in the road. Again, if they choose to do so, there is a penalty for that after the final 30 minutes. Again, use it, have fun with it, whatever, just don't leave it in the road.
Okay, I need a motion for the first reading. Whereas pursuant to Code 36-5-5-2, the Town Council of Sullenberg, Indiana, is the town legislative and fiscal body of Sullenberg, Indiana, and the president of the council is the county executive, whereas pursuant to Code 36-5-2-9, the legislative body may adopt ordinances and resolutions for the performance of the functions of the town, whereas the council has determined a need to repeal and replace the section governing basketball goals for the code of ordinances for the town. So I'll take a motion for the first reading for ordinance 2024-OR-007 regarding temporary basketball goals left in the street for the town of Sullenberg.
I'll make that motion.
Have a motion by Randy.
I'll second.
A second by Matt. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0. Now we need a motion for approval, correct? We need a motion to waive the second reading. Got a motion by Matt.
Second
by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0. And now we need a motion for approval of ordinance number 2024-OR-007. A motion by Matt.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0.
Because there is a fine associated with this, this will go into effect 30 days after publication.
Moving on, unfinished business. We have no unfinished business. New business, a noise study update concerning Lakeside, Silver Glade, Butler Road area. I believe Charlie has this one as well.
Yes, so I just want to give you a quick update on that. I've had this conversation with Councilman Langford. We received a petition from some of the neighbors. There's some residents that are actually have a 31 address. That attorney petition concerning sound and noise as it relates to the Silver Creek Industrial Park, which is the new buildings there on 31, now that they're fully occupied and operational. So part of that, obviously you have a residential district up against an industrial district, stating there's 24 hours worth of noise and impact and what have you. So I talked to Nick Lauren from the Redevelopment Commission. Obviously I wasn't here when whatever approvals were given for that construction of that project. And our standards, so I'm not sure what our standards were at that time. So we're reviewing the landscaping portion of their agreement to make sure that they did whatever they were going to do for noise buffering. But as part of our due diligence, I've been searching for a firm who can come out and do sound monitoring, 24-hour sound monitoring. It'll be a longer period than 24 So I hope to have some type of agreement here this week that I'll be bringing to the next council meeting to see about conducting based on noise impact. We do have sound ordinances in town. Typically, chief is the one that enforces that. We have a handheld sound monitor, decibel meter. This is a little bit of a different situation just because of the 24-hour nature of this, so we're basically looking at putting out sound monitoring for a period of time to be determined. And that way, we have a good factual basis of what's going on there and what the impact is to the neighbors, so.
Charlie, I have a question. Noise, can you be clear on what type of noise?
Jet braking, semi-truck noise, rear backup noise, horns. Apparently, there's semi-horns type issues, forklift type things. So again, I think it's just general operational noise from the new facilities over there. But now that it's operational, we're looking into what the impact truly is, and what's the impact overall so that we have, you have information to make a decision going forward to address some of these concerns.
They also have train noise for the two centers across the street. They have to cross the tracks there, so there's.
Right.
Two train horns they have to deal with as well.
This is informational gathering, but I wanted to keep you up there.
Anything more on that?
No, like I said, once I get the information, I'll send it out to you guys.
And you're using the same company that Endot uses?
Correct, so I've contacted three or four different companies. None of them have gotten back with me, so I reached out to some of our contacts at Endot to see who they use for interstate noise when they look at doing different things from an impact perspective, so they turn me on to this group that state uses, so.
All right, moving on. General comments from the public. Do we have any?
You can study the train noise at my house if you like.
We all have train noise, typically about 4:00 in the morning, so it's worse. All right, receipt, staff report, Charlie Smith.
I sent out a notice today, I got a notice from Ivy Tech, they're having a ribbon cutting on May 13th at 10:30 regarding, they have a new Baptist Health educational wing that they're going to be rolling out, so I plan on attending that. Again, May 23rd, we have Shakespeare in the Park here at Wilkeson Park, May 27th, we have Memorial Day event. I want to thank Chief Whalen for going with me on the 18th. We had the, all of you all invited, obviously, you know, work and do things, but we had groundbreaking for interstate trailer over the corner being road progress, $33 million facility, which is a nice event. Appreciate them including us. Paving for CCMG, so tomorrow we have the pre-construction meeting. So once we get the pre-con meeting, I'll have a better idea of what we're looking at for our paving schedule moving forward. Obviously, we have several roads that listen on the website, what those are going to be, and we have some drainage improvements over in the Crescent neighborhood as part of that package, so I'll know more tomorrow with that. We got the money deposited from the state, we can go on that project. I'm also going to be bringing back, a striking package, a road striking package. Street markings on. Those include Paint Color, Perry Crossing, portion of Newton Street, and then New Albany as well. But as far as New Albany goes, we're going to look at adding designated parking, actually on the road, like people parking on the road now, but actually mark those spots up and down New Albany Street here where it's appropriate and where it's appropriate and whatnot. So we'll be seeing that coming before you group along as well. I've sent a couple preliminary comments about some ordinance updates. Councilman Langford and Brad, as well as Jake, related to fire marshal in town. Obviously, Tri-Township is our fire marshal, but how does that interweave into our ordinances from an enforcement perspective? So there's going to be a couple, some things that we'll be working on, obviously bringing forward to you in the near future with that.
Any more? Any good?
I'm good. I'm good, if you are, if you have any questions.
You said fire marshal, do they have more than one, is there a designated person?
No, so for example, like, if you're in a community where it's, you know, in the town, you know, it's like, I'll just use, say Jeffersonville, for example, right? So the city of Jeffersonville has the Jeffersonville Fire Department as part of the department of the city. And they have ordinance and standards about things you can't, you cannot do from a fire-related perspective. We have some things you can and can't do, not a lot of things listed in there, probably quite a few holes in some of that stuff. But then where does the enforcement of that come down to? Now, I'll give you an example. Not so long ago, I walked out of the office here in downtown Sellersburg, it was very smoky, to the point my eyes were burning. It was not a campfire, it was not a fire pit in somebody's backyard. There was a gentleman over, a block over, who was doing some construction work, and they had a burn going in the side yard that also included shingles. Well, it's not necessarily a police issue from an enforcement perspective. We don't necessarily have some things listed in our local ordinances. There are some things listed from IDM and some state-level entities, but obviously you call the fire department, and the fire department has no way to enforce anything either, because, hey, we don't have some of the ordinances probably that need to be there related to some of that type of stuff. But then also, there's nothing or in a local agreement between whoever our fire agency is to do enforcement of those items. So I think it just became there's a gap there, is really what it comes down to. So Chief Zavi and I had a very long conversation this morning. They've had several issues here in town as of late. A lot of it is due to open burning. That some of which have gotten out of hand, or they were open burning, and there were burn warnings in effect. But from an agency enforcement type thing, because they're operating within our municipal boundaries, they're technically somewhat the enforcement agency from that perspective, but we don't have anything delineating what that looks like. In that, we also, you know, if there's a fire running, our police may or may not be called to that, but I don't think the police should be responsible for a fire-related issue, if that makes sense, violation, if that makes sense. So again, I think there's some conversation and some movement we need to make to kind of marry some of these type items.
Well, if they were, I'm just listening here, they were burning shingles, which is prohibited, I don't know if it's prohibited under the county or the state, I don't think you can burn shingle material.
Well, technically, Sellersburg, you're not going to burn anything at all. So again, I think we have some ordinance updates that need to be done anyway, because I know a lot of people have fire burns. You know, we need to, some of these things haven't been addressed since the 70s. Again, this just goes back down to our code of ordinances. They're old, they need to be updated. And as we get into this update of this, we have to think through its impact on our residents, the decisions, pragmatically speaking, but then also from an enforcement perspective, if there is, you know, and I don't think anybody's looking to go out and just enforce, violate all the time. It's not the goal. A lot of this is to do this, but if it is a continuous situation over and over and over again, the same address or the same individual, there has to be teeth and some type of enforcement action that can happen. So then we get down to that conversation, who is that enforcement entity and what does that enforcement look like within the bounds of the law? You know, where does that area of responsibility fall? And it gets a little bit different because we have township fire departments that is managed through Tribe Township Fire Protection District. And it's not a town department, right? And so it's managed by its own board, but it covers our municipal jurisdiction. So how do you marry those two things up?
So if we discuss and possibly try to legislate some laws or requirements. So at this point, we wouldn't be able to enforce it because we don't have an enforcement branch. So we need to be able to have that language to Tri-Township so they can enforce it. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, there's a state code that starts talking about agricultural burning, like you're in an ag zone, and things you can do in an unincorporated area. But we have a lot of agricultural land in town of Sellersburg, so they don't even qualify for that state code. But that's what's listed within our ordinances, and at some point that code is changed through an amendment at state level. So again, I think it's, we need to revisit some of these things and then figure out, you know, how do we marry, how do we bring that entity in as a partner who has that, you know, enforcement ability, similar to like the police department, within our municipal boundaries, because, you know, I'm not a fire professional, our code enforcement guy's not a fire professional, that's what the fire department is. So how do you tie that in, not just for that, how do you tie that into the building code? So there's other levels of conversation I think needs to be had that ultimately, you know, with your all's input, approval, and partnership, that we can marry that up with the fire protection district so that they have the authority that they need to do what they need to do with fire prevention and safety.
Our ordinance we have on the books, and it's from the 60s or whatnot, probably pertain mostly to people who burn barrels and actually burn their trash back in those days.
And at this point, like I said, none of that is
good.
Right.
Okay. Good, Randy?
Yep.
Any further, Charlie?
Unless you all have any questions.
Chief, you have the floor.
Believe it or not, I actually got a couple things in there. First, I'm going to ask for a vote to pay an invoice. She's a, Treasury Clerk's already got the invoice. For the last police car that I find, it's a Ford Explorer from General Neal. $54,008 was their total. I did reach out to two other Ford dealers to get quotes. One was Bloomington Ford, which I've used before, and Carriage Ford down. Bloomington came in at $60,905. And Carriage came in at $59,876. So General New was clearly well below the others anyway, and so about local. So said the invoice total is $54,800. Treasurer has that. I think this needs a vote so she can pay that.
And I'll just like to buy local when we can.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion to spend $54,800 on a 2024.
It's 2024, and that money's already in my budget.
Explorer?
That was four vehicles.
Four vehicles for the year of 2024.
That's great.
I have a motion by Matt.
I'll second.
And a second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0.
Appreciate it. And lastly, Michelle, did they, does it, you got the title?
Yes.
If you have a title up there, a motion to get that signed. Obviously, we had a, and I'm not going into detail with this, but you have information to be with me. We had a vehicle accident where one of the vehicles was going to be totaled. Working with the insurance company, we're going to need that title to release to the insurance company probably as early as Friday.
It's Randy's got it done.
So other than that, that's what that title's for, just to move that on to the insurance company, and I'll take care of the rest.
That doesn't require a motion, does it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Yeah, you need
title, so basically it's...
So how would the motion read?
Deem it surplus.
Deem it surplus? Uh-huh. Okay, I need a motion. So what year car is it?
2023
Dodge Charger, deemed as surplus.
So
I have a motion. Well, not yet. I have a motion by Matt. Okay. A second.
What if I don't say?
You have to second it, then you can talk about
second,
it.
Yeah, I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion?
I have a question. The vehicle that you purchased is it a replacement for the vehicle?
No, that one's totally separate.
That's separate.
Yeah, that one's a normal car that we would have bought anyway. I'm working with the insurance. We haven't got to the replacement vehicle yet.
Okay.
But it's coming.
Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
3-0. Anything else, Chief?
That's got it.
Chief Cassidy. Moving on to Mike Harris, JPL.
Stop the moment, we got him over here. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Your birthday too? Sunflower Valley, we are getting close to finalizing design for that. If you remember, IFA is paying for that. Acquisition will start here soon. We'll see construction later this year. Make contact with IFA and schedule as well as Greg Pfeiffer, who serves as the attorney for Sunflower Valley. Lead service line inventory, the type two application did get approved. It's a smaller one, I believe that was $15,000. Again, IFA is paying for that. Type two is you telling them what your plan is for type two. So it's more of an office exercise than we can get with Charlie and the water folks to talk about that. We don't want to commit to something in type two that you don't want to do in type three, so we'll work together on that. Let's see, 31, utility relocations, top of the next page. We are starting design on that. We updated the work plan and cost estimates, so moving forward with everything related to that under the new work order. Ivy Tech 2, we've got everything together. Charlie would like to sit down and go through the options, make a decision, roll on with that. Same thing, 31, wastewater, sewer relocations, have updated the work plan with NDOT and cost estimates and are working on design of that. There is another small sewer relocation on 60. That one, as the work plan has been approved and is being designed. Under the treatment plant, we had a meeting, I guess that was last week, with a bunch of the staff out of the treatment plant. Came up with a list of punch list items. They are out there, contractors out working on those. So we're working toward getting everything closed out with those guys. Under CCMG, Charlie mentioned earlier, there is a pre-construction meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Get some more info after that. And that is it, unless you have any questions.
Yeah, Mike, what's it, RAS pump?
Return activated sludge. So in the process, you get to a certain point in the process, you've got to put the bugs back in the plant. So some of it gets wasted with turning into the sludge that you all run through the press and haul to the landfill. And then some of it gets pumped back around back into the plant. So you've got bugs to keep the plant going.
I guess I'm trying to get educated a little bit on, is that something that is an issue from time to time, or does it fail regularly, or is it...
They stuff fails all the time. I mean, this was an older one that's being rebuilt. So the RAS pump, that one did fail. They're replacing that. Okay. So that'll be taken care of.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Comments from the council membership. Randy Moe.
Basically, I guess I've asked all the questions I needed to ask and got all the answers I need, so I really have nothing to see.
Nothing for Randy.
I'm good.
Nothing for Matt. Well, I'm just going to say, I hope everyone enjoyed the eclipse and the 3 minutes of darkness.
I sure did.
I know I did too. It was nice.
I know the boy was real proud of it. I want to throw that out.
Okay. Yeah, everybody work safe. It's summertime. It's going to be hot here very soon. Michelle?
Nothing.
don't have anything. No.
Just gonna say, I hope everybody stays safe in summertime. Thank you to our employees, as usual. When I don't get phone calls, I know things are working very well, so.
I like that part of it.
Michelle, you have nothing? Okay, we are gonna adjourn the meeting at... I do that all the time. I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Have a motion by Matt.
For a second, by Randy. All in favor, say aye. 3-0, we adjourn at 6:30.